You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We have been teaching on the name of Jesus. We started several weeks ago teaching along those lines, talked about, just the position of that name, the power of that name, how that name is above every name, the Bible tells us. That there's no name that even comes close to the name of Jesus. And the reason being is because of what's behind the name or who's behind the name. The name itself's not magic. The name itself doesn't have power. But the name represents Jesus, who does have power. And the only way it really works is on the lips of someone who's authorized to use it, just like a badge. A badge is useless unless you're authorized to use that badge. You've taken a vow, as a policeman or a law enforcement officer, to enforce, in fact, you take a vow to enforce the Constitution of the United States of America. That's what you say. You take a vow along those lines that you will defend it and people, and you'll defend so on and so forth. And then you have to be authorized by those powers that be to wear that badge. The badge itself doesn't have any power, and you yourself don't have any power, but you're authorized by those that do to wield the badge and hold the badge up. I mean, there have been people that impersonated officers, and they didn't have any power at all. In fact, they found out real quick, once they got in jail, they had no power. Taking badges and trying to prove they were somebody. And the world doesn't, they can use the name of Jesus, doesn't mean a thing in the world. In fact, they use it as a cuss word. Some people, they use the word Jesus when something bad happens, or they bump their head or kick their toe and denigrate and insult that name. So the name represents Jesus. And we are representatives of Jesus, and we have the right to use that name. If you look in the book of Acts, this 19th chapter, there were some vagabond Jews, the Bible says, seven sons of Sceva that tried to cast a devil out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. That's what they said. They said, "We adjure you or command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out." And the devil said, "Well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Always like to say he didn't know them Jews. And it says he overcame them and they ran out. The devil overcame them. Well, it didn't have to happen that way. Well, the problem was they weren't authorized to use the name. They weren't licensed, as it were. They weren't, the powers that be did not give them the authority to use that badge, the name of Jesus. They hadn't taken that vow to defend the Constitution, as it were. But you and I, on the other hand, are authorized. And this is what we got into last week. If you look into Mark 16 chapter, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So as believers in Jesus, in fact, we went over that. Mark 16, 15th verse says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe." Do you believe? Well, I believe. So it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall." Well, there's our authorization right there. There's the handing over of the badge. You've been duly deputized. You and I have. As far as God is concerned, we're authorized, and we're deputies of the kingdom of God, and our badge is the name of Jesus. Are you with me? And we have the right to use it. We're authorized to use it. And it has nothing really to do with how great we are. It has to do with how great the powers that be are. If a truck doesn't stop when a policeman goes out and holds that badge, that truck is going to have to answer to the rest of the police force or the highway patrol, or we'll get the we'll get a Texas Ranger on. That'll do it. That's all you need, one Texas Ranger, one riot, one Ranger. We can bring the military in. It'll finally get to where you'll have the U.S. military on their doorstep. I mean, it never stops until it gets taken care of. Because whoever held that badge up, if they're authorized, they have all that behind them. They don't just have the city. They don't just have the county. They don't just have the state. They have the whole government of the United States of America behind them if they need it. Are you with me? And sometimes crimes turn into such big things and people resist to such a degree that you have to pull all those forces in. But if that's necessary, that will happen. Hello. So you and I don't have to worry when we pray and use Jesus' name. All of heaven is behind that name. Hello. And the devil knows that. That's why he trembles when you use it. He doesn't tremble because you're all that big and bad. He trembles because of that name. He knows what it represents, and he knows you're authorized to use that name. And he wants to do everything in his power, the devil does, to keep you from using that name, to keep you on your own, and not tap into the resources you have and authority that you have, because he's going to have to bow his knee. He's going to have to confess that Jesus is Lord if you use that name. He'll do it subtly. He does it in churches all the time. He does it on religious television shows where people pray. They don't even use the name. They just say amen. Are you with me? It's a subtle way. I mean, thank God they're praying, but you know, you ought to end your prayers in Jesus' name. Are you out there? I'm not being picky or legalistic. It just the fact remains that our only entrance into heaven is through Jesus. And it, I might remind you, it is Jesus that said when you pray. He said, you don't ask me anything, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Jesus said that, okay? So he actually told us how to pray. And we're supposed to pray in Jesus' name, amen? But I want to continue on what we, last week I really didn't get finished about our being authorized. We know that out of Mark 16 chapter. Who has the right to wear the badge? The believer has the right to wear the badge. In fact, it's not just our right, it's our responsibility to do so. You know, we're supposed to right the wrongs. We are the superheroes of the earth, Christians, believers. The real power is not in the White House. I'm not making a political statement, just stay with me. The real power is in your house, on your knees, in Jesus' name, praying, believing God. Heaven and earth will come to attention and come to your aid as you use that name. That's why prayers work. That's why prayer changes things. Prayer won't change other people. You don't have authority in Jesus' name over other people, but you have authority over things. We talked a little bit about that, I don't know if it was last week or Wednesday night, that you know the reason that there's so much power in prayer in Jesus' name over things is because everything was made by God. Everything was made by God's Word. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Where earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And all through that first chapter of Genesis, and God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith you understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. So what that tells me is that everything was made by God's Word. Amen? Now let's just take the next step. If everything was made by God's Word, then everything is subject to God's Word. Correct? So when you pray God's Word and His promises, and you have the right to do so, He's the one who authorized you to do it. He's the one who gave you His name. Those things have to submit because those things were made by God's Word. Woo! Prayer doesn't change God. It just changes things. You can change a stressful situation into a situation of peace and harmony. Hallelujah. You can bring health where there's sickness. Hallelujah. You can bring joy where there's sadness. You can be wealth where there's prosperity. If you'll just begin to pray, you can bring a marriage together. Hallelujah. Things change when you pray. And then when you put that name above every name, the name of Jesus on there, when you pull out that badge, which you're authorized to do so, and say cease and desist to the devil, he's got to cease and desist. He's got to stop his insanity. Hallelujah. But nothing's going to happen if you just sit back and never pull the badge out. Hello. We are authorized to do so. We're commissioned to do so. It is our job to do so. God chose us and ordained us that we go forth and bring forth fruit, that whatever we ask in His name, He would do. That's the rest of that verse. You know, we talk about bearing fruit, and everybody talks about just souls. Well, thank God for souls. That's the most important thing, people getting saved. And I believe we do have a responsibility to share our faith with others so they can get saved, witness to others. But it doesn't just stop there. That verse says, I have chosen you, ordained you, that you go forth and bear fruit, that whatever you ask in my name, that would I do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Woo! Oh, come on now. Y'all not near as excited as I am. And I just got started. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you, you can have a better life. I'm trying to tell you, you can get out of that mess you're in. I'm trying to tell you, you've got a bright future. I just want you to know that God loves you and He's for you. And you don't have to live in that pain and that sorrow and that addiction, if that's the case. I don't know. And that depression that you've been fighting, you can make the clouds roll back and the light come again. You can pray. In Jesus' name, you and I have in our hands the resources of heaven that God has bestowed upon us. And He has authorized and deputized us in this time that we got up on our horse and put our six shooters on, or as it were. Well, I'm from Texas, that's for sure. And and go out and enforce the law. The principles of heaven. Quit and let that devil rob from you and rob your marriage and rob your bank account and rob your body and your mind and all that. And say cease and desist. Matthew 28, turn there real quick. A couple of verses I want to get to, passages I want to get to. And we shared, I think, last week over, you know, how the 70 came to Jesus. And Matthew 28, turn there. I'm just going to quote this other one. And in Luke 10, you know, where the 70 came back to Jesus, that He sent them out to heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils, and tell everybody the kingdom of God's come near them. He'd already sent the 12 out in the 9th chapter of Luke. Well, in 10th chapter, He sent out another 70. So it wasn't just 12 disciples out there healing the sick, raising the dead. It was at least 72. Because it said 70 others also He sent out. And they did the same thing. They went out healing the sick and casting out. Go read it. It's Luke 10th chapter. It says that. But when they returned, it says they returned with joy in the 17th verse. And they said to Jesus, even the devils are subject to us through Your name. Through Your name. Wow. Now think about it. That's for the resurrection. And He let them use His name, the 12 and the 70. And the secret to their power was not their holiness, not their saintlyhood. Hello. They were just people like you and I. They were no different than us. But they were authorized by Jesus to do a job. And Jesus backed up them when they used His name. And He said, even the devils are subject to us through Thy name. Wow. Jesus goes on to tell him, He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And He says this, He said, but in this don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you through your name, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the greatest thing, that we are saved and going to heaven. Amen. But along with that is the fact that we do have authority. And I think we neglect that or forget that. You know, it's subtle again. It sounds so humble, and it sounds so pious. But it's really just ignorance. We'll say, well, you know, all that matters is we're going to heaven. Well, no, that's not all that matters. That does matter. Well, you know, most important things, we're going to heaven. Well, that's true. I agree. I agree that the most important thing is that we're going to heaven. But God did not stop there. We have to be honest here and to say, the Bible does not say, get saved and hold on till I come. You know, you get saved, and then He authorizes you to continue the work that He did when He was on the earth. That you ought to pray when things come up in your life, and you ought to pray about everything. You ought to pray about your job. You ought to pray about your marriage. You ought to pray about your health, in which we do. We pray for a lot of things. But that's part and parcel to the gospel. It doesn't just stop with getting saved. No more than Jesus just forgave people. Have you know Jesus healed some people? Quite a few, actually. Cast out some devils and raised some people from the dead, stopped some storms. He didn't just forgive people. If you're going to relegate just forgiveness to Jesus and that's all, you're going to have a very small gospel. Your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's going to be very concise and chopped up. Because He did more than that. He did more than forgive. And the disciples, if you want to take the book of Acts, you're going to have the same problem. Are you out there? And the reason being is God's concerned about you totally. That just shows His love. He's just concerned. You ever had a child sick? You know what it does to you? You know what you want? You'd do anything to make that child well? You talk about feeling helpless. A man feels, you know, we just want to fix everything. We got this fix thing in us. I want to fix it. And some things I just can't fix in the natural, you know. Just can't fix it. Can't fix it. But thank God I can pray. Amen. I can pray in Jesus' name. And what I can't do in the natural, God can do in the spirit. Hallelujah. Well, see, God feels that same way, though. The point I'm making is, if you feel that way about your children, how much more does God feel that way about us? You know, God didn't heal the blind man to show that he was the light of the world. God healed the blind man because he was blind and he loved him and he wanted him to see. I mean, Jesus wasn't just going around making statements about his messiahship everywhere he went. Are you with me? That wasn't the point of what he did. He had compassion. It said he was moved with compassion and he healed the sick therein. He didn't heal the leper and he didn't heal the cripple to prove that he was the Son of God. He actually healed the leper because he wanted the leper healed. Because he didn't want him to have that pain. It wasn't God's will that you suffer like that. It's not God's will that you go through that. I don't know about mental anxiety, mental pain, mental stress, mental depression, all those kinds of things. That is not the will of God for your life. That is not what God wants in your life. He doesn't want you to be that way. And so he's made provision. Thank God. He's given us this name. Hallelujah. To pray in and to use and to speak over these situations and things can change. You know, I remember a situation, and I think you, I'm talking about being serious and passionate. I'm not talking about being flippant. Because I think sometimes we do. We'll just go things religiously. Are you with me? Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, you know, we don't mean that in the man of the moon. We just learned that we were a kid and we do it over and over. And God's great, God is good. Thank you, Lord. Bless his food. Amen. Let's eat. You know, whatever. I believe in being real, not just memorizing stuff and by rote saying it. And sometimes I fall into that trap even when I pray and I start quoting a scripture because I know a lot of scripture. I don't know if y'all figured that out or not. I know 4 or 5 scriptures. And sometimes a serious situation comes up, and I just quote scripture, you know. But I do it real quick. Maybe sometimes I'm not thinking, and I'm not really passionate. I'm not really believing. I'm just quoting scripture because it just automatically just comes out. I remember one time in particular, and y'all heard me tell this story about Chris. He was in school. I don't know how old he was, but he had a knot came up on the side of his neck. And he was in junior high. A knot came up on the side of his neck, and it was pretty big, and he couldn't turn his head. It got to where even the nurses at the school called about it. And I remember, you know, said, "Oh, Chris, in the name of Jesus, that thing's got to go," you know, just like that. Well, I realized the next day that I didn't more believe God than a man on the moon. I just said that. I said the name of Jesus, but I didn't put faith in the name. You got to believe when you pray, amen, and think about what you're praying. And so I was driving down the road the next day and thinking about this, and I thought, I apologized to God first. I said, "God, I'm sorry for just being flippant about that. That was not right at all." I said, "First of all, I know you want to heal him. Your desire is to heal him more than I want him healed." And I started going over the scripture, building my faith, because that's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So you want to build your faith? Well, get the word of God in your life. Start listening to it and reading it and going over it. And I distinctly remember going down the road, going over just different instances in the Bible. You know, Mark 5, where the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and said, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." She came in the press, grabbed his garment, and immediately virtue and power came out of Jesus. She felt in her body she was healed. And eventually, Jesus, "You said her faith made you whole." Now, I know Jesus. I was talking to the Lord. I said, and I believe you can talk to Jesus. You just seal the deal in Jesus' name. If you're asking, you ask the Father. Amen. I said, "Lord, I know you don't love that woman anymore. You love my son. You're no respecter of persons. You love us all alike. You love us all the same. You so love the world, gave his only begotten son. If you heal that woman, you got to heal my son. If I pray like she prayed and I believe like she believed, he can get healed. That centurion came to you, Jesus," and I started going over those instances. You know, Matthew 8, the centurion came and fell at your feet and said, "My servant lieth at sick, paralyzed at home." And you said, "I'll come and heal him." And he said, "No, not even word that you come under the roof of my house, you just speak the word, only my servant shall be healed." And you told that man, you said, "As you have believed, so be it unto you." Now, God, he was a Roman centurion. I am a child of the living God. If you heal that man's servant, I know you will heal my son. I know that if you heal anybody, you'll heal my son, because you are no respecter of persons. And I went over all those instances. I was driving down the road. I was just going over these, building my faith. You know, I got home and I said, "Kids, come on, let's gather around Chris." And all the little kid, and I got a bunch of them. All the little kids gathered around. We put Chris in the middle, you know, and we did something other than hold hamburgers. These are more than burger clutchers. We all laid hands on Chris and then pointed at that thing. And I said, "Let's say this together. And I was serious and I was believing. I wasn't being flippant. And I got our kids all got together and we got serious and we said, "We command that knot in the name of Jesus to go." You cannot stay. In Jesus' name. You are healed in the name of Jesus. And we all said it together. We all said it together. All the kids said it in Jesus' name. And the next day, it got a little smaller. Next day, it got a little smaller. And it was gone. I don't know what it was. I mean, I found out later it was something pretty serious. Didn't realize it at the time. But the power in that name caused healing to come in his body. And it's just one of me. I mean, any one of us could stand up and give testimonies to that effect. I could give hundreds of them like that. But when you really believe, when you use that name, see, it's not just a magic word. It's not like just saying please at the table. It's when you really believe in Jesus and you believe his word and you believe what he says and you're a believer, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then you say, in Jesus' name, heaven pays attention. They wake up. They're not sleeping, don't get me wrong. But they pay attention. Oh, somebody's using that name. Somebody's calling on healing. Somebody's calling on peace. Somebody's calling on prosperity. Somebody's calling on deliverance. Somebody's calling on life. Let's move. Let's get down there and get that done. They're authorized. They've been deputized. I heard them take the oath. I heard them confess Jesus years ago. They're believers. They have a right to use that name. Come on, we got to move. We got to back him up. One of our own is standing there with that name. Are you with me? I tell you, you let policemen hear something, or firemen hear, man down, you know something. I'm telling you what. You in the military, you hear man down. People come alive. Oh no. They come to the aid of someone. Because we're part of an army here. And I don't think we see ourselves that way. We don't see ourselves as authorized. We don't see ourselves as deputized. We don't see ourselves as having been given that name to use. Not to just talk about, but to use. You know, I've been authorized to use it. They shall lay hands on these sick and they shall recover in my name. Mark 13, y'all found it? Well, or what did I tell you? 28? 28. Well, yeah, Matthew 28. We'll go there quick. Matthew 28, 18. Real quickly. I get excited about this sometimes. This helping anybody? Okay. Matthew 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, and that word power there should be authority. If you have a modern translation, it does say authority. I'm reading out of New King James or King James here. All authority, that's the Greek word. Actually, the Greek word is exousia or exousia, depending on which Greek school you went to. The normal word for power is dunamis, which we get the word dynamite from. And so usually when you see the Holy Ghost mentioned and power mentioned in the same verse, Holy Ghost power, it's always dunamis, power, dynamite power. When you see the name used, and like in this case, he's talking about conferring upon us authority, it's always exousia, always. In other words, the name gives us the authority. The Holy Ghost gives us power, ability. The ability, Holy Ghost, the authority, the name of Jesus. I used this example, I think, last week. If Glenn, for example, has got a concrete company, if he were to get a big job in downtown Dallas and to build a huge parking lot or even the foundation on a skyscraper or something, he would have to first get a permit from the city that would give him his authority to do the job. That doesn't give him the ability, that gives him the authority. Are you with me? But then he'd have to also have equipment, that would be the ability. And the crews, amen? He'd have to have crews and equipment in order to get the job done. But just having the crews and equipment is not enough if you don't have the authority. Y'all catching this? Which is the name. And so you and I have been authorized. Are you with me? That's what the name's about. And Jesus says, he spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Now what is that? That's a commission. That's like a power of attorney. He's conferring upon us his authority. If he sends us, then we're under his name, under his authority, operating under Jesus and company, under the auspices of Jesus and company. That's what you and I are doing now. Have been doing that ever since we got saved. When we joined Jesus in company, when we accepted Jesus, when we became saved, a Christian, a believer, then we now took on the authority of Jesus. Just like when Verna married me, she took on my name. That's what we did when we got saved. See, a lot of us just moan and beg and cry and just hope God hears us when we pray. But see, you don't understand. God has already authorized you to pray. You wouldn't have a hope or a prayer if you weren't saved. Are you with me? But the fact that you are saved tells me you can get your prayers answered. Y'all catching that? See, we got it all backwards. You know, we weren't worthy before we got saved. We couldn't get a prayer answered before we got saved. But when we got saved, hallelujah, all of a sudden now we've been authorized. And we don't need to beg and moan. We need to let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's what Scripture says. Everybody say boldly. Not bold to God, but bold in our faith. Bold in the fact that God has conferred this upon us. Bold in our belief in the Scripture that God loves us and He's going to hear us and He's going to answer us. And if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. 1 John 5:15-16. Amen? Woo! Or 14-15. That's good stuff. So we ought to come with confidence. And how do we get all that confidence? In the name of Jesus. That's where we get this confidence. I mean, if I come lay hands on Brennan in Jesus' name and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Did you know it's not me healing? That's Jesus healing her through me. I'm not backing that up. He's backing that up. I'm His body. I'm His hands. Hallelujah. It hadn't got a whole lot to do with me other than me just being obedient and believing when I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, He's so good. No, I'm not that good. He's good. He's good. There's one good God. Amen. Do you think that any one of those, now, God bless policemen. God bless, deputy sheriffs, God bless highway patrolmen, God bless game wardens, firemen, whatever, anybody that's in the service of helping us. But think a policeman, for example. Do you think a policeman in and of themselves is any better than you or me? No. But the difference is they're authorized. That's not an insult. I didn't mean that in an insulting way because we're all the same. God loves us all the same. Amen? But what's the difference between Him holding that badge up and me? He has the right to hold the badge up. And He's got a gun. That's enough for me. I mean, are you out there? But so what's the difference there? See, we get all mixed up. We get in here and start praying and we want to think we got to be as holy as Paul or holy as Peter. Hey, I want to give you a little information. Peter and Paul weren't all that holy. They weren't wicked, but they were human. They went through the same thing you go through, the same thing I go through. They had up days and down days. When they prayed and believed God, God came through. And when you pray and believe God, He'll come through for you too. They used the name just like you and I use the name. They were made worthy and holy by Jesus Christ, and you and I are made worthy and holy by Jesus Christ the same way. Our only hope is Jesus. Their only hope was Jesus. They were nothing before Him. They were everything with Him and after Him, and so are you. So He said this. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, honoring them in the name of, baptizing them in the name of the Father. I need to put my glasses on here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Good stuff. Now, some people say, well, Jesus is just talking to the disciples. No problem with that. Of course, He's talking to the disciples. But what's He saying to them? He's saying, go ye, therefore, to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Y'all see that? So, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? Well, obviously, you can go back and look. He told them to raise the dead, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. So now He says, you go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So what would the disciples teach me? Say I was a disciple, and I was teaching Brenda. Use her a lot here today. You know, we've been married over 40 years. It's the best decision she ever made, that's for sure. We have a strange and wonderful relationship. She's wonderful and I'm kind of strange. But anyway, if I am one of the disciples and I am teaching her, what would I teach her? What am I supposed to teach her? Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Right? So what did Jesus command me to do? I'm a disciple. What did he command the disciples to do? Cast out devils, lay hands on sick. Told them to do that, right? Preach the gospel. So what would I teach her to do? I can't teach her. Well, yeah, I'm not going to teach her a whole lot. I can tell you that because Brenda's going to do whatever she wants to do. But anyway, no. Stay with me. Stay with me. I digress. I am to teach whatever Jesus taught me. So if the idea that, well, only apostles could do this, well, that didn't make sense because he told the apostles to go teach everybody else to do what he taught them to do. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So whatever he commanded the apostles to do, they were supposed to command and teach others to do. So if he gave them the name to go use, which he did, obviously, then they were supposed to come and teach others to use the name too. And that's exactly what we see in the book of Acts. In fact, Philip in the Acts 8th chapter, it says he taught them the things concerning the name of Jesus. Woo! Isn't that a good, kind of what we're doing here, have been for the last few weeks. He taught the things concerning the name of Jesus. Wow, what is that? What's the things concerning the name of Jesus? Some of the things we've been talking about. The authority in that name, the power in that name, the right you have to use that name, the boldness you should have when you pray now, because you're authorized, you're a Christian, you're a believer, and Jesus has now sent you out. You know, Jesus is in heaven, but we are here. We are his body. Isn't that what the scripture says? Ephesians 1st chapter tells us that very plainly. We're the body of Christ. So if Jesus is going to reach out his hands, he's going to have to use ours. He's the head, we're the body. If he's going to move, he's going to do a miracle, if he's going to do something spectacular or supernatural, then it's going to be us he moves through. So it's the onus is on us. The monkey's on our back. We need to let God use us. We need to be quick to pray. Amen? And pray for people and others. It's no sense just continually appealing to heaven when we've been authorized by heaven to use the name. I think most miracles don't have to do with you praying or me praying per se. It's you and me commanding something to happen in Jesus' name. I mean, when you pray for the sick, we really don't ask God to heal them. We say, in Jesus' name, be healed. That's what the scripture says. Lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name and they will recover. Because you're authorized to do it. That's what you do. In the name of Jesus. I've been in some Kenneth Hagin meetings years ago. Brent and I we cut our teeth spiritually on John Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, and Lester Sumrall, T.L. Osborne, people like that. We started going to Lakewood Church in late 1975. That's where I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Brent and I both did. In a Kenneth Hagin meeting in 1975. And then subsequently started going to Lakewood, and Brother Osteen was our pastor. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's daddy. And Kenneth Hagin would come twice a year. He'd come every November and he'd come every February. Did a winter camp meeting there in February, and then he did the Thanksgiving thing in Thanksgiving. And then we'd have all those other speakers come through all the time. It's just an amazing time in our life. It molded us. It made us what we are today. There's no question. But I can remember Brother Hagin praying for people and just have lines of people up here. And he'd just say the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name. And finally, he'd get to the time he'd prayed for 100, 200, 300 people, you know, just there's so many people coming in, getting healed, and people falling out. I mean, they were just falling out left and right. You'd finally hear him say, the name, the name, the name, the name. The name of Jesus. He didn't ask God to do anything. He said, the name of Jesus be healed. The name of Jesus be healed. The name of Jesus be healed. I remember Lester Sumrall was the same way. We used to watch Lester, and he used to come down to Lakewood. In fact, we saw him one time, particularly in North Houston at the Happy Hunters Church. At that time, they had a church up there. You remember the Happy Hunters, Charles and Francis Hunter? Happy, happy, happy. It wasn't Phil. It wasn't Phil that started that. Actually, it was Francis Hunter probably is the one who started using that term, happy, happy, happy. But anyway, Lester was there one time, and he was praying for people, and he was just laying hands on them. It was just so, if you ever heard Lester Sumrall, he was a very bold guy. Very loud, very bold. But he would say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Just commanding thing. Wasn't asking, he was just using the name. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus did? Do you know that's exactly what the apostles did? If you look in Acts, they just said, be healed. They were authorized to do that. Silver and gold will I number, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Acts 3, that's where it took place. I remember one time Lester prayed for this lady. He said, be healed in Jesus' name. He stopped and he said, well, lady, how do you feel? You just have to know Lester. That's just the way it was. She said, well, I feel better. Lady, get over there and sit down. God doesn't make anybody feel better. He heals them or he doesn't. I was sitting out there going, ooh, that was tough. Well, he kept praying, but God was speaking to him. He kept praying. He got to the other end. He says, lady, how do you feel now? Oh, I'm healed. Yeah, that's right. I knew you'd get it. Kept praying. He just had a boldness about it. Now, I'm not saying you go out and do that. I mean, that's just the way he operated, but God was obviously speaking to him. But see here, we need to understand the power of that name. That name has been given to us to use. Okay? And we just need to use it. Just like you tell the kids to stop, you tell the devil to stop. And no comparison there. No. Okay. Mark 13, turn there. We'll wrap this up. Is this helping anybody? It's practical. This is very practical. But I think we need to make it practical. I think it's way too, sometimes we make things way too spiritual and they're no earthly good at all. And we'll walk out with some abstract spiritual teaching, but it doesn't really help us get through the day. It doesn't help us get our kids healed. It doesn't help us on our job. It doesn't help us fight depression. It doesn't help us fight, poverty. And yet Jesus wants to help us in our daily lives. And this is an instruction book. The Bible is filled with instruction on how to make it in life, how to get God to work on your behalf. How God can get involved in your life. And He wants to get involved in your life. See, He does. He loves you. He really does care about you. You got to get that in your thick skull. God loves you. And if you hurt, He hurts. And if you need something, He knows you need something. And He wants you to have it. I'm not talking about being greedy. I'm not talking about being lustful. I'm just talking about the daily grind of life and the needs of life and the things you fight and I fight. You know, God really does care. Cast your cares upon Him. For He careth for you, the Bible says. And so He cares, and He gave us this so that we could make it in life, so we could plow through life, so we could win victory, so we could bring victory and life and light to the world, and the world could see Him. It's about glorifying His name. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. 13th chapter, we'll wrap this up. This is interesting. Another way to look at it, another way to say it, and there's a lot of examples and a lot of ways you can do this. Mark 13:34 says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Well, who do you think Son of Man is? Jesus. That term He used of Himself, Jesus speaking, He used of Himself, 32 times in Matthew, 16 times in Mark. I mean, He used this term over and over concerning Himself, Son of Man, Son of Man. So He said, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left His house and gave authority to His servants. Y'all see that? Left His house and gave authority to His servants. That's exactly what we just read over Matthew 28. All power, authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. That's a conference of authority. He's leaving, but He's not leaving us powerless or leaving us without authority. Any guy in a business does that. Any person in the business, a man or woman owns a business, is going to be gone a long time. They don't want the whole business to shut down while they're gone. They authorize people to keep it going, to write checks, to buy, to sell. Are you with me? And so in this case, Jesus and company, it's still going on, been going on for 2,000 years, although Jesus has been in heaven. He has gone to a far country. But He did not leave us without power. He left us with authority. How? Through His name. In fact, I remind you, this is Mark 13. It's just a couple chapters, three chapters later, 16th chapter. Trying to work on my math here. 3, 16. Yeah, the 16th chapter is where He talks about the name. Amen? And He says, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left His house and gave authority to His servants. And to every man His work. We got work to do, but you know what? We got the name to get it done with. Amen? And command the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, or at evening, or at morning, midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest come and suddenly find you sleeping. Now, what I say unto all, I say unto watch, unto all, watch, watch, watch. That's what we should be doing, and we should be working and occupying until he comes. We ought to be using that name until he comes. We ought to be actively praying in the name of Jesus. We ought to pray over our families, pray over kids, pray over bodies, pray over jobs, pray over our church and our state and our country and our city and our schools. We ought to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ought to lay hands on sick and believe God them recover in Jesus' name. You say, well, what if I pray in Jesus' name and lay hands on them, they don't get healed? What if they do? What's that to you? I don't mean that flippantly. I'm just saying, if you never pray for anybody, nothing will ever happen. I can tell you that right now. You might pray for people and nothing happened. I don't know. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you're not believing. I've prayed for a lot of people. Nothing happened. I prayed prayers that hadn't happened. When I tell you I got serious and the fire of God was in me and I was passionate and I saw some tremendous results, and I'm not going to quit. The word's true. He didn't miss it. But I know for a fact if I never pray, I'm never going to have any answers. Are you out there? The fact remains, if you do it more, you'll get better at it. Amen? You get better at believing, better at standing. Hallelujah. But if it's not going to get done, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If not you, who? Because we're it. There is nobody else. It's not the world that's going to use the name. It's you and I. They're not authorized. We are. And if we don't pray, who's going to pray? And if we don't believe, who's going to believe? That's what I love about this. We're talking about the newsletter coming out and writing some testimonies down and hearing some things that people are getting done and God's doing in their lives. And I think that's so good because the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I mean, there are testimonies. There are healings. There are miracles. Every one of you could stand up right now. We'd be here all afternoon just listening to how God has healed and God has moved and God has provided and God has blessed and God has done miracles, some very spectacular things, I'm sure, in your lives. We could all do that. And you know what? We need to be talking about that. People need to hear that. Hallelujah.